what does everyone have to know about estate planning? Not that the really wealthy out there right now, but anybody. What do they need to do about their own estate planning?
Well, the three documents that are the main portion of any estate plan are basically the will, mm-hmm. and the economic power of attorney, and the health care directives. And the most important thing about the will that you need to know is, do you have kids? Do they need a trust, you know, so that money can be controlled instead of them having the money upon your death? Also, a lot of people don't understand. If you don't have a will, then the monies may not go where you want them to go. Like the surviving spouse may only get 50% of the mm-hmm. assets, whereas if you have a will, you would make sure that your surviving spouse is cared for.
So just about everybody over college age needs a will, and even some people in college need a will. So it's just, especially if you have children, if you have any assets of any kind.
Especially if you have children, because you want to establish a guardianship in that document so you don't have to go to court and spend money on legal fees and so forth to make a determination of who would be the best person to care for your kids.
And you can make sure that the person you want to be the guardian will be the guardian of that child.
Yeah, you establish that in the will.
Now, the other two documents, one is the financial power of attorney. What does that do?
Well, that's very important, generally speaking, meaning it covers all actions that a person could take from an economic perspective. So if you're out of the country and you want your wife to be able to sign a lease or a contract or get into a bank account, you know, if there's a particular need, if you're incapacitated, then you have this document so somebody can at least act on your behalf from an economic perspective.
And that's an interesting point you make. A lot of times when we talk about these financial powers of attorney, we talk about incapacity, but sometimes it can be useful if you're out of the country or just not around to act on your behalf. If it's drafted correctly, your spouse or whoever you want to can take the action.
Absolutely. And of course you want somebody who's very trusted, you know,
yes,
that
can
companion,
be a big,
can be whoever that might be, right. Because it's, you know, it grants pretty significant power.
Right. Which is something to remember if you get divorced or something like that. Make sure you change your documents right away.
True.
Now, how about the medical advance directive?
Well, that is, in essence, it does more than that nowadays, but it's the living will. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea is what would happen to me if I were in one of three very, very significant medical conditions, and do you want to get, you know, food and water, and do you want medical treatment, what kinds of medical treatment, and in terms of making sure that you get medication so that you don't have to have significant pain. It also establishes who your healthcare agent is, and that's a person who can talk to doctors on your behalf and get medical records and take a lot of action with regard to healthcare decisions. So it's another very important document to have. Again, so you remember the Terry Schiavo situation in Florida that was very nationally known. You know, that's a horrible situation, whereas if you can establish how you want to be treated given certain medical conditions and issues, you have that ability.
If that was a situation where a woman became basically a vegetable,
right.
And there was a huge debate between the husband and the parents over whether to pull the plug or not, basically.
Right.
And if she had signed a living will, that would have taken care of that.
Taking care of that, it's a legal document. I would recommend anybody go to the Attorney General's website. There's some great information there and learn a lot about what the healthcare directives, you know, does